Build trust and relationships with stakeholders. During transformation execution, the design team and project teams rely on the influence grid, oppose, neutral, or support on one axis, and low, medium, and high influence on the other axis, developed as part of the project communication plan to identify the critical few persons who have the power to drive or derail a transformation or one of its individual projects. This grid needs to be evaluated for changes in individuals' positions, for example, from neutral to supportive, as part of efforts to date or for a specific project, for example, a middle manager with strong influence for a given project area, a person whose main influence was in an earlier project phase. Also determine if persons need to be added or removed. To determine changes in attitudes, look not only for changes in how the individual speaks about the transformation, but also in how they react to problems or good news, and in actions the person takes, such as providing sufficient resources. This review will help determine which persons require the most ongoing trust and relationship building, both internally and externally. Build trust and relationships with internal stakeholders. The internal stakeholders one should focus on for trust and relationship building include anyone with high influence, regardless of whether they are unsupportive, neutral, or supportive. The goal is to shift unsupportive persons to neutral and neutral persons to supportive. Priority might be placed on neutral persons early in the transformation to help develop a critical mass of support, which might help bring some unsupportive persons around. The goal for supportive persons is to keep their support and sense of urgency and encourage them to keep taking an active role. The persons of middle influence one should target include experts that everyone respects. The basic process of building trust and relationships with internal stakeholders requires involving each stakeholder in the process as early as possible, include many on teams or committees, as well as favoring targeted communications over group communications. These are necessary for introducing subjects but are not sufficient by themselves. Targeted communications can be one-on-one or in small groups, and this allows for tailoring the message to the audience. Collaboration here involves gathering suggestions or criticisms, discussing them within teams or committees, and circling back to show how the feedback was incorporated or explaining why it could not be incorporated. If the feedback cannot be incorporated, consider offering a next best option. While this process of involving people can amount to a large time commitment, it may be the only way to succeed, because the strategy becomes our strategy and what is in it for me can become what is in it for us. However, even when transformation leadership starts to feel this commitment from stakeholders, it is important to keep monitoring and controlling this to ensure that victory was not declared too soon. Build trust and relationships with customers and suppliers. When working on a transformation, external supply chain parties may be directly involved in transformation design if their participation is required, or the transformation may be conducted with such parties as potential beneficiaries of the new processes and systems, but without requiring their agreement. In the former case, building trust and relationships is absolutely essential and must be initiated from the highest organizational levels. In the latter case, potential beneficiaries of or participants in the supply chain transformation should still be consulted. This process involves gathering customer or supplier requirements and then using this input as a design consideration. When their feedback is used, this should be communicated back to them to increase their chances of acceptance or further participation. When the transformation projects are complete, it is important to circle back to seek the party's acceptance of the final process in the form of determining which parties plan to use the process and what support they will need to use it. Changes in policies and so on need to be communicated to all affected parties. When external party participation is necessary or highly desirable but optional, the organization needs to prepare strong recommendations. A strong recommendation should be one that offers as much value as it asks of others. In other words, adopt a win-win mentality. Start with considering what the organization may be willing to offer other parties, which can include information, value-added services, or various concessions such as on prices or contract duration. For information sharing, consider what data you will be willing to trade now as well as what you might trade as more trust is built. Note that confidential data can easily be misused by other organizations, such as pricing data getting into competitors' hands and then used to undercut the organization. Robust contracts are needed along with strong data security protections. have a data negotiations approach and know what data are on the table for trading. Third parties might be used to manage data fairly. Given this preparation, a strong recommendation can be made. A strong recommendation is a sales pitch. It needs to provide the vision of what working together will look like if successful, and it needs to inspire the potential partner to seek more detail. If senior leadership succeeds in generating awareness and interest, then the next level of recommendation can involve members of the design team developing and providing a clear and concise presentation in enough detail to promote buy-in. Getting the people who did the work to do the presentation, while favoring team members with good selling skills, enhances credibility and facilitates question and answer sessions. Such recommendations should include financial value propositions. Supplier-customer relationships exist along a continuum. Exhibit 3-3 shows how supply chain relationships can take the form of two general categories. Exhibit 3-3, range of customer-supplier relationship types. Arm's length or lower value-added relationships are based on compatibility of interests and mutual need, often for tactical purposes and on short-term results. Selection is based on whether a supplier fulfills the customer's needs concerning price, features, quantity, quality, and service level. For commodities and other supplies for which there are many potential vendors, the relationship can easily remain at arm's length. Collaborative or higher value-added relationships are based on greater openness and trust, including willingness to share information on topics such as cost, processes, market analysis, and future products. Mutual respect and confidence in the reliability and integrity of the other party. Levels of partnership-type relationships can include cooperative relationships, sharing information in a standard format that is pushed or pulled, and at a higher level, coordinated relationships, information sharing plus more two-way planning and execution, and more compromise and negotiation, such as vendor-managed inventory. These levels can start with cooperation to build trust and then work toward coordination. Strategic alliances can be described as synchronized relationships that synchronize more than just the supply chain, but also jointly invest in research, development, intellectual property, or other ways to create strategic value. Strategy, the relative power of each party, including how much you need them or vice versa, and the opportunity for mutual gain can dictate the most desirable type of relationship to have with a given entity. Therefore, no one relationship type is best, nor should all relationships progress to higher levels of relationships and trust. Building collaborative relationships is difficult due to the need to consciously align with an independent entity, so it is reserved for situations in which the benefits are likely to outweigh the costs. The type of supply chain that is needed can be a strong determinant of the ideal relationship type to work toward. Let's re-examine several types of supply chain segments introduced earlier, now from an ideal relationship perspective. Low-cost strategy customers. Customers who have more predictable demand and have a low-cost strategy will tend to favor transactional arm's-length relationships. They will likely have a mix of vendors, conventional suppliers, and certified suppliers. The supply chain needs lean processes to be cost-competitive. Customers with high demand variability. Customers who have unpredictable demand will need suppliers who have agility to ramp capacity up or down quickly to meet demand opportunities as they arise. This can take the form of certified suppliers or partnership-type relationships based on contracts that promise capacity availability and fast response within certain limits. Project-driven customers. Customers who are project-driven, such as those in the construction industry, have a strong emphasis on logistics to meet tight delivery windows for lumpy demand profiles. The supply chain in this case is more important than the suppliers, meaning that an organization with a core competency in project-related logistics, including 3PLs or 4PLs, might be the ideal collaborative partner for this customer. Suppliers can be in a range of transactional relationships with a few collaborative relationships for innovative custom elements. Close supervision of multiple suppliers helps gain trust. Customer-supplier long-term collaboration segment. Customers who have mostly predictable demand and desire consistency, such as predictable high quality or other brand value, tend to favor close working relationships and collaboration. A collaborative supply chain should be designed to best serve such customers if they agree to work towards some form of partnership or alliance. Customers needing innovative or emergency capacity. A customer who needs suppliers to provide innovative solutions or emergency capacity will rely on these suppliers, which promotes higher levels of relationship building. Contracts that share benefits and losses can help promote collaboration. Ability to manage business interruption risks is a key way to build trust. For example, Sample Incorporated is seeking to use CPFR with its key customers. This can entail developing joint strategic or tactical plans, joint forecasts, and joint replenishment plans, so it will require a partnership-type relationship or more. Similarly, other collaborative business practices such as efficient consumer response, continuous replenishment, just-in-time, or lean may require some form of collaborative relationship. It is best to plan out one's ideal relationship type with a given external party before approaching that party. Determine what needs to be transactional, price and volume for set time, communicative, sender and receiver agree to communicate ad hoc, cooperative, specific data shared regularly, coordinated, rely on partner capabilities, and longer-term commitment, or synchronized, integrate multiple business processes for various criteria, such as the categories shown in Exhibit 3-4, which is an example of an ideal relationship assessment tool. The X in the exhibit show how one potential external party might be assessed on each continuum. One might also have options that fall between distinct categories. The relationship in this example may be cooperative with some coordinated elements. Note that the non-critical versus strategic items and leverage versus bottleneck items in this relationship assessment example refer to quadrants in the Kraljic portfolio matrix, as discussed next. Kraljic portfolio matrix. Peter Kraljic developed the Kraljic portfolio matrix comparing supply risk, for example, supplier power, outsourcing complexity, and profit impact, for example, competitive value, proportion of product cost, to describe possible buying approaches per supply category. As shown in Exhibit 3-5, the matrix creates four quadrants, each representing a type of item. This tool can be used during strategic analysis, for example, when evaluating or rationalizing the portfolio of products, and also when evaluating potential supplier-partner relationships, as was shown in the prior ideal relationship assessment example. Exhibit 3-5, Supply Risk versus Profit Impact. Enablers of Trust. Trust can be developed between individuals at each organization. The more individuals who have positive working relationships with each other, the more likelihood that a critical mass of trust starts to develop. Turnover can hinder this process, but here are some ways to help nurture constructive relationships. Be dependable and stable. Stay in regular contact on subjects of specific concern. Be credible. Do what you say you are going to do and provide honest feedback. Show empathy for people and concern for results. Be ready to compromise, cooperate, and resolve disagreements. The organization as a whole can enable trust by providing useful information on its capabilities and by providing wise recommendations, innovations, and judgments. Organizations also need to demonstrate proficiency in relationship management and in responding quickly to threats and opportunities. The organization should show persistence and constancy of purpose, such as by setting a strategy and providing governance to ensure that everyone is acting in accordance with that vision. Setting a goal and then ignoring noncompliance is a good way to encourage further noncompliance. Everyone will have less trust going forward. Contracts can be used to reduce the risks of trusting another party, assuming that both parties fulfill their obligations. Contracts can be long-lasting, but they are often insufficient in themselves without developing trust in individual relationships. Virtual organizations or other strategic alliances have even more involved and longer-term contracts, and some provisions are intended to mandate collaboration activities. Contract provisions need to be monitored and controlled to be of value, and arbitration or legal remedies should be sought for contract violations.